Welcome to Growing Seeds Educational Services presents the State of Education podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Rayanne King, and I want you to sit back and enjoy while we talk about the state of education, the state of the union, and the state of you. Welcome back to Growing Seeds Educational Services. I am your host, Dr. Ann King. And like I always say, I am so excited to be back. Yes. So I'm back and I am excited because this podcast is about a couple things. And I actually recorded it last night, but so much was going on that I kind of was like, I want to add some more stuff. So I am going to focus on three areas and three topics. Well, 3 points today, and apologize for not being consistent. I know, but it is 2021. And first of all, I would say a lot of my listeners are not in America. So hello. Yes, things have gotten crazy, but we're going to get into that. And I can't, things have been crazy. Oh my goodness. So sit back and enjoy this this take or my rendition of the inauguration, which is one of our topics. Also, kind of where's Growing Seeds going? And, you know, we're going to have a deeper conversation about what's really been going on. And last but not least, just the next project that we'll be doing. So the state of education usually was the topic, the state of education. But now we are branching on since we are now in season dos. Yes, we're branching on to some more things. So stay tuned. So if you have been living under a tree, yes, you do not know what is going on in these great United States. But if you haven't been living under a rock or a tree or some weird place, baby, things have been wild. Wild. So I'm actually located in Washington, D.C. Oh, this is where I live. Yes, I live in the city. You know, my nickname for it sometimes is the Dirty City. Because guess what? D.C. I'm sorry. I gotta go so far. Okay. But D.C. is a very unique place. It's just different. It's different. And I love it. I ain't gonna lie. I love it. I think it's really, it's exciting. You know, I'm from a more southern and country area. So being up here is always exciting and something different and fun. And then sometimes it's horrible and scary and a pain in your butt. But even when it's a pain in my butt, my mom is like, you ain't going nowhere. I'm like, I know. All right. But the inauguration. Ooh, my God. Ooh, first of all, I am so happy Donald Trump is gone. Baby. This is the first time I have not had a friend call me to say, what is up with your president? And I am so happy about that. Number one. Number two, I graduated from the amazing, the Mecca, Howard University. So you know, I'm feeling it. Vice President, Madam Vice President Kamala Debbie Allen. Oh, did I say Allen? Oh, no. Debbie Harris. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Debbie Allen. Got all confused. But Debbie Allen is also an alumni from the great Howard University. Sorry, Debbie. Her birthday just passed. That's why Debbie Allen is in my head. And she looked like my homegirl. Okay, that's a tangent. But back to what I was talking about. So let me do this over. Madam Vice President Kamala Debbie Harris is in office. And I feel good. I feel great. turn up one time. Yes, it is an amazing feeling. I tell you, I ain't gonna lie. Like, is this what white men been feeling like all this time? Because if it is, I see why you like it. Like, you know, first of all, I'm a black woman. So I really don't know what it feels like to be white or a man. And traditionally, president and vice president is a white male position. And, you know, I felt real good when Obese, president, former president Barack Obama was president. It felt good. But this one feels different. It's like an internal light is switched on and you feel that pride and it's just like, oh my God, this is what it feels like to do something and be a part of legislation and truly a sense of a change agent and a black woman that went to the same university as me, that walked the same yard as me and who lives, real talk. Okay, this is the weird part. So I did last night. I was happy. I am a grown woman in my 30s. And I never knew where the vice president lived. Okay, I'm sorry. I knew where the vice president worked. I knew the location of where they work. I think it's called the EEB. But the Edgar... Okay, I know what it is, though. Because I watched the TV show Veep, okay? Like, if you ever watch Veep on HBO, it's hilarious. So I kind of was familiar about it, but I never knew where the vice president lived. It's never been on my radar to care or think about. Like, I love Uncle Joe, and Uncle Joe, when he was in office, was real good, but it was Uncle Joe. You know, I was intoxicated with the Obamas. So I'm sorry, Uncle Joe. But I went and put in Google, where does the vice, and it just popped up, president live, you know. So I know everybody is searching it. And she lives like 12 miles away from me. Well, no, she doesn't. Right now, they're repairing that residency, the Naval Observatory. They're repairing that house. And so they're not living in it now. They're living in their private residence somewhere in this city. She could be even closer. But when she moves into the Naval Observatory, she will be 12 miles away from me. 38 minutes. I live less than an hour away from the vice president, madam. Vice president. I'm so excited. That is so weird. And then I live like, I think it's 15 miles from her job. I looked that up too. I just was so excited. And my mom was like, "Ooh, girl, look how close you live." I said, "I know, mama." So it just is really good. It's a feeling. So let me talk about some things that happened and stop rambling about me living there. Kamala. All right, so it was an amazing speech. Opening speech was very amazing. It was so weird. It snowed, and I could see the snow coming down, and I ran to my window, and I looked, and I'm like, there ain't no snow out here. Where's the snow? When I saw the sun shine down on the Bidens, I jumped up right in my window, and I was like, it is overcast. What sun are they getting? What manufactured glory is this? But, you know, it was a great day. The Lord was happy. It was all lots of elements in one. Literally. Rain, snow, sunshine, all the elements was there, honey. You know, the opening speech just rang out that the future was female. That we are making a way and we're really in this show. Also, there was just, even though this was the 59th ceremony since 1789, it just was euphoric. And there were so many moments I cried. so many moments I just sat there and I was like, oh my God, like, what is happening? And for me, it was so emotional because I graduated in the year 2000. And Y2K year, y'all remember that mess? I graduated when we was worried that there wasn't going to be a world. And I remember in 1999 sitting in church at Watch Night crying because I was like, I am just about to graduate and the world's coming to an end. And I just remember, like, my mom said, girl, stand up and praise the Lord. And I'm just like, I can't because this is it. So, you know, in the year 2000, I was in high school between 1996 and 2000. You know, there was some of my classmates that were very proud Ku Klux Klan members. They had laminated cards. You know, I had somebody threaten them to come burn a cross. I had a mouth on me. Burn a cross on my yard. I come from a place called Imperial, Polk County, because the Imperial Grand Wizard. So, you know, racism was so prevalent in my life. There are certain parts from where I live back home that I just remember my mom driving past. Mom, like, whatever you do, don't be on this road in this area after dark. And I just be like, why? And because it was like a road that had a lot of trees. And it was mossy trees because in Florida we have that Spanish moss. And I just thought it was because it was, you know, spookies. And I knew it was called a sundown road, but I didn't understand all the way. You know, my mom isn't going to tell a child, don't go down that way because you're going to get lynched. But basically that's what it was. So to see a race war happen, you know, like it was a big race fight in the year 2000 at my high school, Mexicans versus the blacks, blacks versus the whites versus the Mexicans, the blacks versus the Mex. It was just a mess. And to see that, I just did not know if we would ever get out of this situation and would we be able to see the change. And you know, the third part of this, we're going to talk about that element, because unfortunately I know racism too well. I can speak on racism with authority, and I know what it looks like, and I know what it feels like, and I know it sometimes before it even presents itself. But on inauguration, it was a moment that I felt good. I felt like all the fighting that black women have done, all the things we've put together has been worth it. And so it was amazing. Forging to make a more perfect union. I think when Amanda Gorman, who I ain't gonna lie, I don't went on Amazon about her book. Yes, Amanda, you so cute, Pooh. Oh, she's so pretty. You saw them braids and that perfect yellow that made her skin look like glistening gold flakes was embedded in her. And that, oh my God, she was so cute. I could just eat her up. I just wanted to eat her up. She was so adorable. Like, I'm not old enough to be her mom, but oh my God. She's just like so cute. When she said that this nation wasn't broken, it was unfinished. That literally like embedded in my mind and in my heart. And it made me say, okay, you're right. We never completely forged a perfect union. We only took on, we stopped, you know, America stopped where those that were happy and comfortable and controlled the most land, money, and resources felt the least threatened. And because of that, we stopped and we didn't form and forge a more perfect union. And that really stuck to me when she said that. Okay, let me joke a little more. I'm sorry, I got to. Why? Okay, Gaga sounded good, but why, old girl? Why she looked like she was here for the Hunger Games? I was waiting for her to end it by saying, and may, what did I say? And may the odds ever be in your favor. That's what I was waiting for her to tell Kamala and Joe. Her outfit, like, oh my God. Gaga's outfit was so befitting the inauguration because we just had insurrection 2 weeks prior, and we got, like, these people threatened to lynch the, at that time, Vice President Mike Pence. And it was chaotic and violent and deadly. They killed their own people. Except for that police officer that they hit and beat in the back of the head with the fire extinguisher, which is ridiculous and horrible. Like, oh my God, there's so much to say on that. And oh my gosh, like, they literally killed their own people. Like they trampled one woman. I'm like, how you trample her? Y'all ain't want to pick her up on her arm or nothing. But, like, it was so, I'm telling you, that day, I'm going to have to talk about it. I talked about it with my therapist because I myself have been, I was traumatized because I live so close. I live, like, 4 miles from there. I live 5 miles from there. And I was traumatized. I was scared. I was so scared because I know what these people can do. So, whew. All right. But when she had on that Hunger Games outfit and looked like, may the odds ever be in your favor, I just about fell out. I said, what in the mocking Jay does this lady have on? Oh my God. Okay, let's keep going. So it was very all-inclusive. It was funny at moments, lighthearted. Garth Brooks sung his little heart out. Woo! When that mic went out, all I could imagine he was really singing. See, I come from the Black church and the Southern Black church. And when we sing Amazing Grace, see, I can't really sing, but I'm gonna still do it. When we sing Amazing Grace and we get done, we just hit at the end of it like a little chorus of praise God. And it's just kind of, no, I can't sing. I really can't sing. But we go into like praise God. And we just say that over and over in the same melodic melody of Amazing Grace. And it's a very, lack of another word, euphoric experience. And that's what I felt when he was going. Disagreements does not mean disunion. And that was another thing that stuck out to me. I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. Yes, you can agree to disagree, because I am a very opinionated person. And my opinions pretty much sometimes don't match anybody's, but I can still respect people and love them. And he's a president for all Americans. It was just great. It was amazing. It was so just a moment. It was a mood. It was everything. Ooh, the Obamas. Did you see that outfit Michelle Obama had on? Yeah. Let me tell you something, FLOTUS. Okay, so I went on Sergio. What is his name again? Sergio Hudson. That's it. Sergio Hudson's site. So I saw Sergio Hudson. I saw his site. I done ran, virtually, ran my little stuff down. I done clicked on it. I'm like, I'm about to be dressed in slay like Michelle. Hey, Shale. So I run down there. And then I ran up on a dress being $925. Okay. Then I went to the next page and saw a bodysuit for like $400. I said a bodysuit, $400. It ain't even $400 worth of material. And then he a thick boy, you know. I just got on Noom. We'll talk about that later. So I'm like, well, I'm trying to lose weight, but I'm a little thick. He don't make thick girl sizes really. That I didn't see none. Maybe they were sold out, but I didn't see any. So I clicked off and said, I'm going to just wait till Fashion Nova make a knockoff. That's what we all going to be doing. Waiting till Fashion Nova makes a knockoff. All right. So the inauguration was amazing. The experience was great. I felt good. Me and all these women on the internet just was taking pictures and like, let me see your pearls. And it was great. One weird thing was every time I told a guy, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited. This is so amazing. They all went, why? And I was like, if you don't know why, yeah, you don't know why. And, you know, the statement that came into my head was things that I understand doesn't need to be said. And if you don't know why yesterday was the day for women, Republican, Democratic, American, South African, if it wasn't for women, Aborigine, then you just, you don't get it. You don't understand. But I had the best thing. I think I'm going to be on this high for a little while. All right. So let's go into our next topic, which is where's Growing Seeds going? Because believe it or not, ignore that ding. That was my email. And I'm not re-recording this. Believe it or not, we got to talk about that. It ain't going to be a long conversation because I already went like 18 minutes to talk about the inauguration. So let's talk about our next section, which is where's Growing Seeds going, guys? So just to give you guys a really real update on what really kind of was happening, because I was kind of really vague the last time. So my nephew moved up here with me, and I went from auntie to auntie mama, and he went from nephew to nephew son. And he was with me for a little bit trying to figure out like what he wanted to do. And he's still in high school. And so because we were doing virtual, it was a perfect opportunity for him to come up here, stay with me for a little bit to see if he wanted to move away from home and do all those great things that children do. So nephew's son missed his actual mama. And so auntie mama had to let him go back. But between those 3 months of having nephew's son, it was a lot of work, honey. Like between my job and trying to figure out a company and Trump and everything, it was a lot. But what I did learn is that, you know, there was a lot of things that I had lined up pre-COVID. Fellowships, conferences, schools to do my growth data planning, you know, piloting that. It was so much. And when COVID hit, a pivot was required. And some people pivoted, some people didn't. Even within the pivot, there needs to be an understanding that you can pivot, but if you don't pivot and reshape yourself and redress yourself to fit the needs of the moment, the time, and then prepare for the needs to come, you will be stuck. And I was stuck. It was hard. It was, you know, I can't just think about the right now. I have to think about the time to come. And I'm getting the vaccine. And before you say anything about that vaccine, let me tell you something. I done survived stage 4 cancer. Okay. I don't know what they pumped in my body to get me to stay here. But hey, I'm going to just take the risk, get that vaccine. And like I keep telling people, if I grow bat wings, I'm just going to learn how to fly with them. I just will never pay for a plane ticket again. I'm going to just, you know, take 19 weeks to fly to California. I don't know. Okay, it's a joke. It's a joke. Sorry. But I just had to rethink what I wanted and what I liked. So I like data coaching and I like data. I actually love data. I liked what I was doing, but it wasn't what I loved. I love research. I love psychometrician, things like that. Psychometrics, I mean. I love research and evaluation. And that's what I love to do. I have fun doing it. It makes me smile. Makes me smile a weirdo smile. So the pivot is, you know, Growing Seeds can stay in this space where we are just not moving. I mean me. It is just not working because it was built for pre-COVID. And in COVID is one thing, and post-COVID will be something else. Like I can't wait to do my favorite thing, which is travel. But I'm very astute and aware to the fact that, you know, plane travel seems really dope until you think about COVID variant 3 that's in South Africa blinding people. So it's like, oh, this COVID variant, take your taste and your smell, and you just gonna make me read with Braille? Nah, bruh, I'm good. So when you like, it's blinding you, yeah, let me rethink that too. So for right now, I said, you know, why don't I try to make something I love, and even when things aren't going well, I can do it and enjoy it, versus, you know, trying to take my square peg and fit in a round hole. And so it was not an easy decision. It was a conversation with my therapist. It was researching what I like to do. And so Growing Seeds, we are still a company, but we're pivoting and we're shifting and changing our focus to research and evaluation. And I am nervous because I am no Pearson and I'm no, what was it? It starts with an A, Alpine. I'm none of those people, you know. I'm not ETS, but I will say this. I don't have to be all those things to be successful. I'm going to take my company and I'm going to do what I love, which is research. What I'm actually good at, which is research. And I'm going to find a way to, you know, turn what I love into something that I can really do and not have to be, you know, uncomfortable, sad, and upset doing it. You know, and at this point, you know, there used to be a point where I thought like, okay, let me move Growing Seeds to the point I could just quit my 9-to-5. But now I'm getting to the point because I have expensive taste. Not expensive enough to afford Sergio Hudson, but expensive enough that, you know, I like what I like. And when you like what you like, you know, that takes about 6 to 7 incomes. But definitely, you know, I'm just going to keep figuring it out. And as I figure everything out, you know, I will keep y'all along for the ride. Because we going to do it. I'm so excited about 2021 too. So, but yeah. And that's why if you're on my page, that's also why I canceled the vision board party. I wanted to do a vision board, a little virtual party, and I still might do one. Who knows? We might need a vision in June. But it took me a minute to get my vision together because I couldn't see where I was going or what I was doing. And now that I have a clear idea, I'm able to be the amazing Ran King, Dr. Ran King we all love. And that I love even more. All right, so let's go on to our next topic, which is our next focus for the season. And I'm really excited about this topic, actually. Like, really excited. So where are we going? I had this idea during my reflective time, and it was mentioned like 95 times. So I had an idea, and I came up with that idea in, I want to say, November. Joycelyn could be more off. I can look at my message to her and Miriam. But I think it's November. And I want to focus on and really take us into a deep dive of dismantling and understanding the concepts behind manifest destiny. And if you don't know what manifest destiny, since most of my listeners are from abroad, Manifest Destiny happened a very long time ago. It was around the time the Pilgrims and all the stuff before the Civil War and all these great things, before they went to California, all those things, like, you know, back in the day, like in the 1600s. So basically, just, you know, a quick synopsis. Manifest Destiny was some people that lack melanin said that God told them to go west and everything out there was theirs to conquer. Now, out west at that time, they were not California or anything. It wasn't in Texas, wasn't out there. So to go out west and conquer, that land was already occupied by Native Americans. Texas was occupied by Mexicans. In my Moina's voice from, did I say that right? Moina's voice from Schitt's Creek. The Mexicans. What are you doing with the bebe? So the Mexicans live there. In my Moina's voice. All right, people were occupied it. And Manifest Destiny said that we have the right and the authority to take this land that belongs to somebody else, whether we have to kill you to take it, we're taking it. It's ours. And the more you understand Manifest Destiny, the more you understand these Trump supporters getting on these apps and news places screaming, "This is our land. Trump, come back." You know, just crying those crocodile tears, screaming, "This is our land. This is our land. We built," and y'all ain't do nothing. Y'all stole it, enslaved other people to build it, stole everybody's culture and community, and then you cry because you say it's yours. So Manifest Destiny reiterated a concept and a belief that if I want it, I can take it. Which was actually instilled in them, the English and all of them, and those Spaniards, way before Manifest Destiny, i.e. slavery, i.e. conquered the New World. Ooh, what's this place with spices and flavors? This is ours now. No, baby, India belongs to the Indians, honey. There was a bunch of people living there before you got there. So, we will spend this season really taking a deeper look into Manifest Destiny, and that will kind of help, especially my non-American and some American listeners, understand how January 6th happened, how the insurrection happened. Honey, these people that brought bulletproof vests and zip ties to the nation's capital, who had Molotov cocktails, pipe bombs, loads of guns in their cars. Who had a noose hanging across the street. It would explain their mindset and their psyche. Because what you have to understand is, if I went to a public school and that public school showed me and taught me through pictures and lectures and text that the color of my skin meant that I am to own everything, and that the America wouldn't be America without Manifest Destiny, because we were able to go do what others couldn't, which was take land. If you can understand that, you can understand the mindset of the insurrection. And as dark as it is, and as uncomfortable as it is, one thing I said in the first section was, I know racism. I know what it feels like. I know what it is when I see it. I know it when I'm in the presence and I can smell it. It's, unfortunately, racism and hate is in the fabric of my childhood and my youth. So, you know, it is something I know and I can talk about. And I will be talking about it, and we're going to do some research and really dig into it, because I want to really help you guys understand what significance January 6th had on my country, on me, on my friends in Amsterdam. Hey, Bob. And how that event has forever changed America. But believe it or not, not for the worse. See, as we close out this podcast, one thing you have to understand, if you're not honest with yourself and show who you really are, then you can never grow. America has lied for years, decades, centuries. We're great. We're amazing. We're amazing. We're great. We're perfect. Come over here. Land an opportunity. We brainwash people into thinking that we have a superiority to the rest of the world, when in fact, we are more inferior than anybody. We're more damaged than anybody. We're more broken than anybody. There are third world countries that respect human life more than Americans do. And those are things we are really going to delve into and understand. And for my listeners that have never traveled, you know, as soon as COVID clears up in a couple of years, I'm saying 2023, boop, you need to get out and see the world so you can see how amazing other people live with, yes, less, but just with different mindsets too. So racism is everywhere. We all go through it, but not all of us, but a lot of especially Black people or minorities go through it. But we shall overcome. All right, guys, that is it for Growing Seeds tonight. I'm so excited. And like I said, season 2 is really going to ramp up. I have way more responsibilities, but I don't have my nephew's son. I love you, nephew's son. I love you, James. But James is gone. And so I'll be back doing more. I am so excited. 2021, here we come. Let's go out here and be great, guys. I love you. And stay safe, stay focused, stay lifted up. Bye. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. So this is the exit. You know where to find me. If you're on Instagram, IG, find us at growing_seeds_ED. On Twitter, find us at seeds_growing. Also, our website, Growing Seeds Educational Services. Ooh. And on Facebook at Growing Seeds Educational Services. And YouTube at Growing Seeds Educational Services. All right, guys. See you and talk to you soon. Bye.